Wonder if you ever heard of Tank Man? Tank Man. Well, you have to go back to the year 1989. A solitary figure in a white shirt and black trousers, and he's clutching a bag. And he stands in front of a row of halted tanks. Those of you who are old enough, you will probably have an idea who we're talking about. He was the man who stood in front of the Chinese communist forces in Tiananmen Square. The man's identity remains a mystery. It's not even clear if he is still alive. But folks, that's not the point today. The point is, he had the backbone to stand up for what was right. He stood up to the might of communist China. And in doing so, he brought 18 military tanks to a standstill. As Christians in 2019 Northern Ireland, we are not facing a row of military tanks. But I want to say today that we are actually facing something much worse. Namely, the murder of the unborn and the introduction of what is referred to as same-sex marriage. And all thanks to Westminster. Or perhaps that should be Westminster. Led by the unholy trinity of Labour MPs, Conor McGinn, Diana Johnson and Stella Creasy, the swamp at Westminster has voted for these two evils, which will be legalised on the 22nd of October if Stormont remains in cold storage. Thank God, last weekend there were anti-abortion protests that took place, most notably on the Friday night when 20,000 people attended a silent witness at Parliament buildings, while a similar number marched through Belfast on the Saturday afternoon. What alarms me, folks, is that there has been little or no opposition to same-sex marriage. According to Lord Ian Duncan from the NIO, and this is something I read in last Monday's Belfast newsletter, and this is what he said. Everything is on schedule. It's a big job, but we will deliver it. And we have not experienced any pushback. We were fearful that there would be perhaps a campaign or opposition to this in Northern Ireland, but there hasn't been. Whenever I read that last Monday, I was very sad. There has been no pushback. As I've already said today, our text for this morning is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, and that's what we want to look at for the remainder of the service. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. First half of the verse speaks about real marriage, traditional marriage. The second half speaks of same-sex marriage, or what we have already called fake marriage. So first of all, I want us to think today about real marriage, true marriage. It's described for us there in the opening words of the verse. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled. The word honourable, of course, means that it's to be praised, commendable, positive, it's beneficial. So why is marriage honourable? That's the question that we asked this morning. Let me give you three reasons why true, real marriage between one man and one woman for life is honourable. First reason is because of Genesis chapter 1. What we have read already today from the opening chapter of the Bible. Genesis 1 verse 27, let me read it again to you. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. There's diversity. We hear a lot of talk today about diversity, don't we? Well, here's diversity. Here, right at the beginning of the Bible, you've got diversity because you've got the two genders. You've got male and you've got female. Male and female created he them. This is inclusive. Again, that's another buzzword. Today we're all supposed to be inclusive. We're supposed to accept everything and anything. We're supposed to be tolerant towards every lifestyle and any lifestyle. Inclusive. Inclusivity. Male and female, that's the way it was at the beginning. You know that same-sex marriage discriminates against one of the genders? There's discrimination in same-sex marriage because you've only got one of the genders. You've either got two males or two females. That's discrimination. Christians are accused today of discrimination, left, right and center. I want to accuse those who support same-sex marriage today of discrimination. Only one gender. No, God is inclusive. He believes in diversity. The right kind of diversity. The male and the female. Man and woman. That's real marriage. That's the way God created it in the beginning. Some people think that it was man who invented marriage, that some government somewhere invented marriage, but that's not the case. No, it was God, our creator, who invented marriage. He has the copyright to it. If you want to know what real marriage is, you've got to go to the Bible. You've got to go right back to the first book of the Bible. In fact, you've got to go right back to the first chapter of the Bible. And you know the lovely thing is that once it tells us here that God created male and female and that God brought them together in marriage unity, there's a wonderful phrase at the beginning of verse 28. Four beautiful words, and God blessed them. And God blessed them. Do you know the blessing of God Almighty is upon real marriage? When it's a male and a female, when it's a man and a woman, God's blessing rests upon that marriage. But we've got to say today that God's curse rests upon same-sex marriage. Oh, I want to make it clear today that same-sex marriage is cursed by God. His curse rests upon it. None of us want to have the curse of God resting upon us. No, we want to be blessed by the Lord. You want to be blessed by the Lord? Take your stand for real marriage. Take your stand for traditional marriage. For any of you who are not married, I want to say marriage is a good thing. And even as our text tells us today, it's honorable. You enter into it. What an honourable institution it is. No, it's not easy. Marriage has its ups and downs. It has its good days and its bad days. But I mean, folks, what do we expect? Because after all, you've got two sinners living together. Two fallen creatures living together. Yes, they may be saved by God's wonderful, amazing grace, but they are still two sinners. And there's going to be friction. It's going to be fallouts. Remember hearing a man stood up to give his testimony one time. He talked about his father and his mother. He said they never had a row. I think I would like to talk to his father and his mother. Oh, there are ups and downs in marriage, but folks, you see, you got to work at it. It's called maintenance. Yes, marriages were made in heaven, but the maintenance takes place on earth. And there's no such thing as reversing out, backing out of the marriage. I want to tell you that marriage is a covenant. I mean, most people in society today think marriage is something like that. If they feel like it and it doesn't work out, they can just, you know, leave it. Drop it. That's not the way God looks at marriage. God looks upon marriage as a solemn covenant. Vows have been made. And it is a very serious thing. And so I want to encourage you today, if your marriage is going through a difficult time, if husband, if wife, you're finding your home life difficult, I want to encourage you to persevere. Never give up. Never ever give up on your marriage. Never let your marriage break. Never let your marriage go to the wall. Stay with your husband, stay with your wife. You say they're imperfect. Oh, if you only knew the faults they have, but then again, you've got faults. That's what they would say. That's what your partner would say. I know that my wife could tell you about many a fault that I have today. Hard to live with some days. Just an old sinner. But I'm glad that someday, when we get our new bodies, that it'll be all different. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Folks want to say today, real marriage is honourable because of Genesis 1. Real marriage is also honourable because of John chapter 2. We've read about it today. Jesus goes to the marriage in Cana, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Some people think that Jesus was some kind of hermit, sort of like a monk who hid himself away from the world. But I want to say today that nothing could be further from the truth. No, Jesus loved to mix with people. After all, he came to save people. And we find that he's there at the wedding. He was invited to the wedding, and with joy he made his way to the wedding. And of course we know that he saved the day because he intervened in the situation when they had no wine left, and Jesus provided the wine. Jesus turned despair into joy. By the way, if you're not a Christian or if you're a backslider today, that's what he can do for you. He can turn your despair into joy. That's why we love to talk about him today. He is such a wonderful Savior. And wherever he is, it's heaven there. Isn't that what the hymn writer said? Oh, hallelujah, yes, 'tis heaven. 'Tis heaven to know my sins forgiven on land or sea. What matters where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Those people at that wedding in Cana that day, they had a little taste of heaven because Jesus was there. It's nice to think about heaven, isn't it? The only reason I want to be there is because he's there. Because Jesus is there. And that's the main reason why I want to be in heaven someday. That's where he is. You take Jesus out of heaven, thanks, but no thanks, I don't want to be there. Ah, there's the streets of gold, yes. There's the pearly gates. There's the river of life. No more pain, sickness, all the rest of it. But without Jesus, heaven isn't heaven. And when Jesus draws near to an individual or to a family or to a church, my, it's heaven on earth. That's why we long that we would have him in our services, drawing near to us, comforting us, encouraging us, speaking to us, drawing souls to himself, Christ crucified, trusting in his atoning blood. It's all about him, folks. It's all about Christ. God forbid that there should ever come a day whenever we don't preach Christ anymore. That'll be the day to lock the doors and put the padlock on. Yes, Jesus, he honours marriage in John chapter 2. And marriage is honourable because he was at that first wedding, and was of course the first miracle that he performed. He honoured marriage by his presence. Let me say thirdly, real marriage is honourable because not only at Genesis chapter 1, John chapter 2, but Ephesians chapter 5. We have the lovely passage there in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Marriage is honourable because it's a picture of the union between Christ and his church. And you see, that is why we ought to be so grieved and so alarmed at what's happening in our little country in these days. Because marriage is under attack. And we could go further. We could say that Christ is under attack. His gospel is under attack. But it's honourable because it points to the Saviour and the church that he gave his life for. I wonder, are you part of the church today? It says here Christ loved the church. It doesn't say Christ loved this church. A lot of people think that the Lord Jesus has his wee favourite churches. Nah, he doesn't have any favourite churches. There's only one church he loves, his church. Whether it's Independent Methodist, it's Presbyterian, it's Baptist, or whatever it is. See, he's got members of his church in all those denominations. He's got his people everywhere. He loves the church. Are you part of it? Oh, it's good that you're part of this church today. We're glad to see you sitting in the pew today. But I've got to say this today, that you could come and go from this church and still end up in hell. It could happen. Doesn't have to happen, no need for it to happen, because Christ shed his blood that it might not happen. But if you don't receive him and become part of his church by faith, then that's exactly what will happen. So we've been thinking about real marriage already. I want to think as we close today about same-sex marriage, or what I would much rather call fake marriage. We've all heard of fake news. A lot of fake news around today. You know, there's even a fake gospel. If you read Galatians chapter 1, Paul hits out at another gospel that was being preached. A lot of fake gospels around today, you know, just do your best, keep the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, go to church, give to charity, be a good neighbour, whatever. A false gospel, a fake gospel. Well, we have now got fake marriage. But there's a warning about fake marriage in our text. Whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You know, those last three words should strike terror into those who are outside of Christ. Whether it's same-sex partners, homosexuals, lesbians, drunkards, drug addicts, people who are watching pornography, sniffing glue, taking, smoking dope, whatever. And also people who go to church but they're not yet born again. These last three words should strike terror into their hearts. God will judge. God will judge those who enter into a same-sex marriage. God will judge those who legalize same-sex marriage. God will judge those who support and promote and lobby for same-sex marriage. God will judge those who condone same-sex marriage. It doesn't say that the United Kingdom Parliament is going to judge. See, the United Kingdom Parliament legalized same-sex marriage in the year 2013. That's when it was legalized in both England and Wales. 2019, the UK Parliament want to legalize it in Northern Ireland. Our prayer is that that does not happen. We need to be praying, folks, that God will intervene, whether it's through Stormont being restored again, or the Lord has other means and ways of doing it, but we need to pray that he will step in. But it's not the UK Parliament who will judge at the end of the world. It's not the US Supreme Court who will judge. You see, in 2015, the US Supreme Court legalized gay marriage throughout all 50 states in the United States of America. They said, go right ahead, it's now legal. But our text does not say that the US Supreme Court will judge. It says God will judge. It doesn't say the Irish Parliament are going to judge. 2015, same year, the Irish people voted for same-sex marriage. They voted for fake marriage, and it became legal. But it's not the Irish Parliament that will judge. It is God who will judge. Let me strike a note of hope. I've been saying this morning that God will judge. But just in case there is someone listening to the message today who is down in the depths of despair and you think that you cannot be forgiven, I really want to strike a note of hope as we finish. God does not want to judge anyone. He doesn't want to judge the homosexual. He doesn't want to judge the lesbian. He doesn't want to judge any sinner for that matter. Rather, according to his word, he desires that every sinner would turn from their wicked ways, that they would renounce their wicked ways. He wants them to experience his forgiveness. You see, at the cross, God the Father treated Jesus as if he was the worst of sinners. And by the shedding of his blood, salvation was purchased for the worst of sinners. By the shedding of the Savior's blood, salvation was purchased for you and for me. That's a message of hope. Ezekiel 33 verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. The Emperor's New Clothes is a fairy tale written by Danish author Hans Christian Andersen. It's about two weavers who promise an emperor a new suit of clothes that they say is invisible to those who are stupid or incompetent, while in reality they make no clothes at all, making everyone believe the clothes are invisible to them. When the emperor parades before his subjects in his invisible clothes, no one dares to say that they can't see his new clothes for fear that they will be labelled as stupid. But finally a child cries out, he isn't wearing anything at all. Folks, the reality is that same-sex marriage is just like that. In fact, we could say today that same-sex marriage is actually a fairy tale. It is pure fantasy. No matter how much people pretend that it's the real McCoy, it is still a counterfeit, and it will always be a counterfeit. In a recent episode of the flagship BBC programme Songs of Praise, coverage was given to a same-sex or fake marriage. It was held in the United Reformed Church in Glasgow. And this is in spite of the fact that 99.5% of churches in England and Wales have chosen not to register for same-sex marriage. All I can say is that Sir Harry Seacombe must be turning in his grave. But you see, why are we surprised? What do we expect from an organisation that tells school children there are more than 100 genders? Maybe you didn't know that the BBC have that on their website. On their website. Teaching children that there are more than 100 genders. Well, as far as I can see, there's only two. Male and female. But you see, you're back to the Emperor's New Clothes syndrome. Yes, same-sex marriage may be legal in an apostate church. It may be legal in the United Kingdom, the Republic of Ireland, and the United States of America, but I want to say that it will never, ever be legal in heaven. You see, there is a higher throne than all this world has known, where faithful ones from every tongue will one day come. Before the Son will stand, made faultless through the Lamb, believing hearts find promised grace, salvation comes. Hear heaven's voices sing, their thunderous anthem ring. Through emerald courts and sapphire skies, their praises rise. All glory, wisdom, power, strength, thanks and honour are to God our King, who reigns on high forevermore.